Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day everybody and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm John Crockett and today we are talking our top 23 players under 23. And as always to do that is Stevie Fizz. Welcome, pal.
Yeah, g'day, Joe. G'day, listeners. Very exciting show. Personally, I think we should be doing a top 25 keepers over the age of 33. I don't think this is a bit out of my wheelhouse, but you know, every now and again we have to throw the Statesman a bone, Jono, and let him come up with some content. So he's got this. I'm very excited, and I think all the listeners out there in keeper leagues, and we know there's a lot of new listeners out there at the moment, I'm sure they'll really enjoy the content.
Yeah, and it's actually a big thanks to Footy Rhino who allowed us to do this podcast. But it is the Statesman who did ask for the permission, so welcome to you, mate, and thank you for asking.
Yes, absolute pleasure. We must first say it's the handover. We finished BBL Fantasy, finished in 52nd and won the Draft Doctors BBL Championship. So thank you for lavishing praise on me, gentlemen, for winning our own league award. You all look so excited. But BBL is all over. I still will again. The finals are crap. They've got to fix that. But moving on, gentlemen, I must say that when I contacted Footy Rhino, I did give him the Carl Reiner line of, unless you're Carl Reiner, you're stealing my bit, because I'm sure this type of content has been used in quite a few different forms, no doubt would be used in America for the NFL models, because they've been big on the keeper and dynasty leagues for a long period of time. But certainly one of my favourite podcasts was done by Footy Rhino and along with Grant Fenn. For those that don't know, Footy Rhino is Ryan Daniels, who was a sports reporter for Channel 7 in Perth. He does some great stories on future AFL prospects in the West. And they also did a fantasy podcast and he did some magnificent articles, but they did 147 episodes on Footy Rhino. My favourite pod was the Top Keeper Prospects. In 2015, they started, it was under 23. They followed that up in 2016, and it was a mid-season podcast, so they were using the sample for the first half of the season from the data. In 2016, they move it to under 24. I thought this pod had to continue, and obviously with Footy Rhino's blessings, we're hopefully that we can do this content some justice. So the theory was with Footy Rhino that you would not straight trade a player one position behind. In other words, if you have number 13, you're not going to trade number 13 for number 14. You want a bit of a kicker, or whether that be a draft pick or a lower end defender or forward. Therefore, it takes in potential, most importantly, the recent form, consistency and reliability. Therefore, this list is not exactly easy to compile. Yes, in hindsight, we can all change our minds a little. For example, I'm going to read you out the really good list that was put out mid-season in 2016. That was a top 25 under 24 fantasy podcast back fantasy prospects back then. You may change your thoughts 2 years later, gentlemen, and I'm sure there'll be a few you pick up here. So here's a recap of Footy Rhino's top fantasy keepers for 2016. Bumped, in other words, weren't on the list, but they were age eligible, was Elliot Yeo, Lockie Whitfield, Brad Crouch, Toby Green, and number 26, so didn't make their list, was Brody Grundy. So this is 2 years ago, gentlemen. Ended up being the number one ruck last year.
Yeah, I listened to the pod and I got to say, you know, it was great. It felt like there was a lot of recency bias. Like, yes. What have you done for me lately sort of sort of style. But it was really interesting content. Yeah, I got to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. So here's a quick rundown of the list. Number 25 was Patrick Cripps. Number 24 was Dion Prestia, Meatball. Number 23 was Jack Viney. Number 22, Josh Kelly. I have this feeling that Josh Kelly might be a little bit higher on the list. Remember, this was top 24 2 years ago. Obviously, we're comparing it in 2018. So we're talking 3 years back, Josh Kelly was actually in that list already. 21, Andrew Gaff. 20, Brandon Ellis. Someone who dropped away after this, but is probably on the way with his defender status of picking back up. Number 19 was Sam Doherty. One of two defenders. Number 19. Incredible, isn't it? Number 18 was Max Gawn in the ruck. So, well spotted. He was becoming Maximum Gawn at the time, as Footy Rhino used to call him. Nat Fyfe was number 17. Dropped, because he had broken his leg twice, from number one the year previous. Number 16 was Seb Ross. So, I think they picked his explosion a bit later in his career, but he came. Number 15 was the only forward, or forward-only status in there, was Luke Dalhouse. Number 14 was the second defender, Rory Laird. Number 13, who had dropped from number 6 the year before, and if he was age-eligible, probably would have dropped again, which was Ollie Wines. So he's been showing for quite a while that we're expecting a fair bit out of him, but hasn't showed it. 12th position, and he was 12 the year before, and I think he's the only player that remains on this list that we're going to broadcast today, is the Bont, was number 12. Number 11, Dylan Scheel, and Dylan Scheel hasn't kicked on. He's probably dropped away a little bit. Steve Coniglio was number 10. Jack McRae, number 9. Taylor Adams, number 8. And I think they pointed out that their top 7 pushed well ahead of those. I think there's a couple below there that really pushed into the top 5 now. But the top 7 was Lachie Hunter. If you remember, he had his breakout year in 2016. Hasn't kept that up. Number 6 had his breakout year and he's continued on his way, is Zach Merritt. Number 5 is a person that I think has dropped right away, is Dyson Heppel. So I wouldn't consider him in that sort of top 5 category now. Number 4 was Lachie Neal. Number 3 was Tom Mitchell, who after recent 12 months, probably we would have said should have been number 1, but that's again a hindsight call. He was influenced by his then coach. Number 2 was Luke Parker. And number 1 was Adam Treloar. What's your very quick thoughts of Footy Rhino's top 25 2 years ago?
Well, when you got Ollie Wines just going further and further down that list, it's amazing they didn't actually look at the key forwards, which aren't your big fantasy scorers. They're more your super coach. So you would have thought Tom Lynch a couple of years ago had a really good year. But just Hep, yeah, so that's the glaring one for me. I thought Tom Lynch, they might have snuck him in there or even had an honourable mention. So that's a big one there.
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting. It's I don't really have a problem with any of them. Like Adam Treloar, I still don't have a problem with him being number one. Like,
no, agree.
I know he fell away, but I don't think much has changed. It just seems like, and we're sort of dealing with it now, where people are just looking at the back halves of years, where you're dealing with such small sample sizes. And I realize I'm doing that sort of with Roy Lobb, but you can project the role for him. But when you're talking such small sample sizes like we did with, say, Lachie Hunter, it's very easy for them to just be taken away.
Yeah, so, absolutely. Yeah. And there's a couple in our list that I think we've gone off short sample. And there is roles that are linked to them. There's no doubts about that. But I think we've got a decent balance, as I think Footy Rhino did, of actually consistency of scoring versus potential of scoring.
Yeah, I know you don't want to get into arguments and so forth on this show, but it's fair to say there was a few disagreements. All you can do is go on the evidence, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's one player here that between us that we were 20 positions apart. So we'll have a bit of a discussion as we go through those as well. So as there are three of us, we've decided to do a top 23 of under 23 fantasy keepers. As there are three of us, we all look at players in different ways. I'm obviously AFL fantasy leanings, the other two boys are super coach. We are doing this as AFL fantasy scoring. So this was never going to be easy for us to come up with a final list. We weren't going to be like Footy Rhino and Finn, sit down, chat and agree. So this is how we've done it. We've all compiled a list. We've effectively given them a point score on the position that they're on the list. So if one player gets position number one for all three of us, then they get 3 points. That's the lowest score, so you're going to top it. If we all pick a player to be position 20, they get 60 points. So that's how we've graded them. So we have got, we know Footy Rhino in the last one had two defenders, one ruck and one forward. Here we vary our positions a lot more in this list. We have six defenders, five forwards, although two of those five forwards, I believe, will lose their forward status and just be mids as they develop, and maybe one of the defenders will. We only have one ruck, and we have 11 mids. So let's start with the list, boys. And just quickly, in 26, 25th and 24th position that have just missed out, but they were named by at least one of us along the way, was Jack Martin in 26th position, Christian Petrarca in 25th, and Callum Mills in 24th position. Unlucky to miss out, but on the point system, the first one to talk about is a defender. He has probably be a laughing stock in fantasy terms for quite a while, but had quite a solid year in 2017, averaging 85 for the Melbourne Football Club, and that's Christian Salem.
Look, Christian Salem's an interesting case because we know when he's on the park, he puts the scores on the board, but it's just being on the park that's the big issue. I mean, we all had him ranked low. I had him the lowest. I mean, you're not dropping Christian Salem. You know, he's a good player.
Absolutely, and I suppose it becomes that question. There is 2 years the difference between him and Callum Mills. The difference is Christian Salem has actually put himself on the board where he's a D3, D4 with an average of 85. He has scored 4 tons and one score over 120, but he only scores a ton every 11 games that he plays. Callum Mills at the moment, I think we all know he's going to be a better footballer. And I think we all know he is probably going to long-term be a midfielder, where I think Christian Salem is always going to keep his defender status. I don't think he's going to be pushing into that Melbourne midfield. So he gets ahead of Callum Mills because of the security of the position that he has, but also he's actually proven and put the score on the board. No doubt Callum Mills will do at some stage or has the potential to do, but he hasn't done yet.
I just have a problem with Callum Mills. Is he ever going to be... He's not going to be an inside midfielder, is he? He's not going to be laying 7 tackles a match. Like, I don't think he's going
to... Would it be Dan Hand Mark too, just sitting on the outside waiting for the cheap
stuff? Yeah, I like Christian Salem for the very fact that you know he's going to be a defender and you know he's probably going to score better when he's in defence. I like Salem. That's fine.
And only one of us had him out of the ratings. We had a 19th, we had a 24th, and we had a 22nd. So all around the picture. So moving on to number 22, and I must admit, I was surprised and I had to reevaluate once I understood his age. So he's only born in 1996, so he's 21 now, turning 22, and that's Toby McLean for the Western Bulldogs. They look like they really like him. He's got forward status. Whether he keeps that long term, we're a little bit unsure. But 85 average this year, he's played 35 games and actually has a career average of just under 80. He scored 7 tons and one score over 120, which means he actually tons up one in every 5 games. So that's pretty good at someone at 21 years of age.
Yeah, look, the thing with Toby McLean and playing for the Western Bulldogs, you got Luke Beveridge coaching there. So he's going to keep that forward status for the rest of his career if Luke Beveridge is coaching there, because you know what he's like. He just rotates people through that forward line and midfield, defence and midfield. So he's going to get that game time there, if that's how they pick it, between the forward and midfield. And he's swapping out with Luke Dalhouse. Luke Dalhouse was drafted as a defensive forward. That's what they've used Toby McLean as well. But it looks like Toby McLean's pressure around the ball is actually gone ahead of Luke Dalhouse now, and they're using him more time in the midfield. And that's where we saw all those tons come from this year. I think it was just this year alone where he scored those majority tons while getting that midfield time.
So moving on to number 21, and this player has only played 9 games of footy. But he rated in two of our list. In fact, Steve, you were the only one that actually didn't put him in your original 23. It's Alex Witherden for the Brisbane Lions. Started off magnificently well in his career. He is actually the person kicking out for Brisbane, so his foot skills are quite sensational. He backs himself and actually kicks it to himself, so he's always getting those extra stats. So an amazing start to career, an average of 88.4. He's obviously only scored the one ton so far, but missed the consistency when it comes to scoring. He is a long-term future defender, D1, worst case, D2.
Yeah, you know, what can you say? I mean, he's worth keeping. I don't think there's going to be anyone dropping him. Obviously, potential's there. You know, maybe even gets better with Luke Hodge. I'm not sure. It's going to be interesting. I'm really interested to see what the Brisbane backline looks like this year with him in there.
But does Witherden keep his defensive status? Because we know he pushed up in the midfield as well.
Yeah, well, that's the interesting part. But I think that's a 2 or 3 year thing away. I think they've got so many young mids in there. Now, the biggest question is, can Brisbane retain all that talent? If they do, I think Witherden's the perfect halfback flanker. Great skills. That's where they drive attack from these days, is that defensive line. They want the ball in his hand. So I can just see him playing that Doherty role.
Yep, fair enough.
So moving on to 20. Now, I will say Steve has made a point, and he's, I must admit, I'm the one that's put this guy at the highest position. I picked him at 15. He ends up at 20 because he got a position outside the 23 and also by Jono at number 20, and that's Luke Dunstan. Now, you talked about having a half-season form. That's exactly what he's done, and that's what I'm sort of hyped and excited about, because he finished the season last year. For the last 8 games, he averaged 110, or it might be 109.8, but around that mark, and just showed that when he did get freed up and played in that midfield, that he is as good as his draft picks suggest that he should be. So Luke Dunstan, it's his only 1 year in this list, because he's born in 95. He'll be over 23, obviously, heading into next year. He scored 9 tons. At the moment, that's only averaging every 7.67 games. But we saw how well he can actually play when given the right role.
Yeah, look, I actually had him, tipped him in early in the preseason as one of those breakout players that I'm pretty excited about for this year. He's going to me, he's like a Lenny Hayes Mark II, just a tackling beast, really, and just gets the ball. He's going to be leading that midfield in there. Like, Armitage ain't playing that no more. So it's going to be the young guns with Seb Ross, who's that middle-aged kind of player. So loving Luke Dunstan, your Jack Steele through that midfield. They're all just going to be getting the points this year. No worries at all.
And Steve, you were the one that didn't pick him in. Do you think that there's too much the same in that midfield?
There is a lot the same. You know what? Luke Dunstan turned me around. I didn't like him, but obviously he really showed his wares in the back half of the year. And you know what? I'll jump on board. I changed my opinion. He's proved me wrong. But it's such a small sample size.
Yes.
What are you getting? What are you getting with Luke Dunstan? It's taken him a long time to get here. And even then, like, when I'm thinking of keeper midfielders, at what stage am I ever going to captain Luke Dunstan? Like, he needs to stretch this together for a year, really, for me to really believe this. At the moment, I think, yes, I'm keeping him at the back half of my list, but, you know, if I'm weighing him up against, someone who's like a Dane Zorko, you know, I'm still keeping Zorko. Like, I don't know. I need a bit more. I need a bit more proof, I guess I'll say. Not that I'm not a fan now.
Yeah, And it would be interesting if he had another year in this list of where it would actually be the following year, because he does need to deliver to get higher. There's no doubt about that. The next player, number 19, is one, and there's no surprise that Jono rated him the highest, because this is a gut feel pick. There's no doubts about that, but most people are pretty impressed with him. Born in 97, he's only got a career average of 75. His first year was quite impressive. Second year, not so much time in the midfield, so he has picked up forward status. but they see him as a long-term key midfielder for them, and that's Darcy Parrish for the Essendon Football Club. He's only scored 3 tonnes out of his 39 games, so he has got a little bit of work to do, but the promise is there, the changing of the guard of Essendon Football Club. This man should be on the rise in 2018 onwards, Jono.
you know, obviously this year he's very attractive with the forward status, but I put it to you, would you keep him if he was mid-only?
No.
It all depends. In a keeper league, it all depends what my mix is, but I would hate to see him go.
Yeah, so, I think it depends how many keepers you got.
Go back. Would you swap Dunstan for Parrish? So if you had Parrish on your list, Jono, would you swap it with Steve to get Luke Dunstan?
Yes, because I need midfielders in my keeper team.
Right. Steve, would you swap Parrish?
But yes, but because Dunstan is ahead. Dunstan is ahead of where Parrish is at the moment.
No, I'd keep Darcy Parrish only because I'm banking on the upside and the third-year breakout. I think he's an interesting player because he... Yes, we all expect the delivery of the scores this year, but he hasn't delivered much of a ceiling, which is kind of something I look for in my players, because I think you can always bring the bottom scores up. It's hard to establish a ceiling. So Darcy's an interesting case. I've certainly got him in my top 20, but only just. He's an interesting case. The forward status makes him fantastic this year.
Absolutely. And with that theory, I wouldn't trade Parrish to get Dunstan. And the forward actually saves him because you've got him as a good scoring forward this year as he transitions into a high-scoring midfielder. And Dunstan, as we say, is still a small sample. I do have Dunstan in my keeper, and I'll accept Parrish with him. If anyone wants to sell me whoever's got Parrish, I would sell him at a heartbeat for Parrish. So that's 2 out of 3, and I think, therefore, that theory works. Number 18 is, again, more of a gut feel. Because this man has never scored a ton. This man is defender, but he's probably going to be playing in the midfield this year. So long term, he's actually going to be a midfielder. And that's Andy McGrath at Essendon Football Club.
Yeah, no, you took the words right out of my mouth. Oh, look, you're keeping him, but we haven't seen him hit the tons. I'm just having a look at his scores now. And average of 70. Look, first year, you're just getting him on the hype, aren't you? You don't know what he can produce when he gets that midfield time. What role is he going to play in that midfield? I mean, he pumped out a few 90s and a couple of 30s. So until he gets some tank, I think he'll be defender for another year or two. And then once he does build that tank, we'll see him roll through the midfield where he will lose that defender status.
But there's not many first-year players that I think look that classy. And it is under pressure.
Hell no. Like, he's got the skill set. He is a natural footballer, but it's going to be a couple of years until he's perma-mid for me, I think.
So you've got two players, Steve, McGrath and Parrish. Who do you take? You got the one pick.
Oh, I keep McGrath, and it's a no-brainer for me. I'm very comfortable with that. I think we just see it's hard to often get very good defenders. I think he proved his worth as a lockdown defender, so he's proved his mettle. I think he goes into that Essendon midfield over the next 2 years and just continues to destroy. And we're talking about him as a 110 midfielder in not too distant future. So I've got him very high. And that's kind of the one thing I found doing this list is you really have to go off evidence, but you kind of miss. I kind of like the speculation. Mm. You know what I mean? But you can't how far do you stretch that speculation? So for me, Andrew McGrath is as comfortable as I am.
Yeah, and you can see the difference of the gut feel of speculation and me being so database. He was my last of my 23, but you guys had him in the top 12, top 13. So there is that difference of thought process, but I'm always very much data-driven. So moving on to number 17, and we're talking another defender, so we're talking a third defender already, and is not a great career average of only 67.3 after his 69 games. And I will say That's quite a bit of footy to play. He's 95 born, so this is his first and last chance at this list. He's only scored 5 centuries, 5 tons, and that's only an average of 13.8 games per ton. And that's Luke McDonald at the North Melbourne Football Club.
Yeah, I've got him at 15 on my list. I think he's made the transition. He's always been a good possession winner in the VFL. Took him probably a little bit longer than you'd expect from such a high draft pick to start putting it together at the AFL level, but it looks like the penny's dropped, and he seems as good as anyone. With the recruits going into the North Melbourne midfield, I actually think he's someone who can retain that defensive status and be one of those guys that are just going to be a mid-defender for basically their whole career. And I love that. I absolutely love that. I think there was a lot of mids on this list, so getting some positional variance is fantastic. So, yeah, I like Luke McDonald. You know, I think the Roos are obviously a building team, so the Bulls should spend a little bit of time in the defence too.
Absolutely. Moving on to number 16, and I will say that this really, really divided. It divided us. So one of us picked this player in the top 10, at actually number 6. Another one of us picked him mid-range at 12, and another one of us didn't even have him selected. And it could only mean one thing. This is a key position player, because this is what they do to us in fantasy football. So in AFL fantasy, there is one forward under 23 that actually is a good scoring machine. So this player has only played 51 games, but already has 9 centuries and won and score over 120. So that is a ton every 5.6 games, which for a key forward is actually quite remarkable. His career average is 75.6. So we're talking that this is mixing it with a Darcy Parrish, with a Luke Dunstan, with a Toby McLean. And this is none other than Baby Fizz's favourite player, Jesse Hogan.
Look, I got to say, I've got this one completely wrong. I've looked at him just as a purely super coach scorer only, but looking at his scores, he's quite a decent fantasy scorer. I mean, look, take last year out with all the injuries and the cancer scare and whatnot and his father passing away, but you look at his 2016, there's 4 tons there. There's scores in the 80s and 90s. That's what you're looking for, you know, as a key forward in this fantasy game. So there is plenty of upside to Jesse Hogan, especially with that midfield emerging. He's going to get plenty of supply. He's going to have to fight the GOAT and Cam Peterson for a few goals there, but that forward line's all of his own in 2018.
Yeah, so coming off the long run-up here, Jono, basically I've got to take aim at you because you've got him at number 30. I don't know what you're thinking, but I wrote actually an article about how undervalued Jesse Hogan was, and at the same time of their careers, he's in front of Buddy Franklin. Now, Jesse Hogan doesn't play like your traditional kick and mark key forward. He gets up the ground, he can lay tackles, he runs through the midfield. The numbers this guy puts together are quite impressive, but the only thing that I think is different going into this man's next season, as we saw when Buddy Franklin had his breakout, was that the back half of that season prior for Buddy Franklin was huge. It was tons every week. Now, this guy's got more tons, more big scores, kicks more goals at the same stage, but he's coming off a very indifferent year. We know the busted collarbone, we know the suspension, we know all the troubles he had, and he still put together a number of big scores. Like, it's and you know he's never going to not be a forward. He's always going to be a forward. Can you definitely say Jack Billings won't be a forward? It's just, to me, it's an absolute no-brainer.
No, look, I completely retract my my ranking there, and after looking at the numbers, I agree. Wouldn't have him at 6 because I know your man love for him, but certainly you have to be in the top 23.
Well done to Michael Holding there. So moving on to number 15. This man is only heading into his third season. He's only played 15 games of footy, but out of the 15 games of footy, he has racked up 6 tons and 1 score above 120. But his score above 120 was just a measly little 160 against Port Adelaide. He has scored a ton in every 2.5 games, which is quite remarkable. I ranked him at 10, Steve 20, and Jono at 18. So he's landed at number 15, and it is the wonderful Braden Fiorini, the superstar from Gold Coast, who is just going to get opportunity now that the list has changed, the coach has changed. This boy's a gun, and he's going to be a big scorer.
Yeah, so a lot of speculation, wouldn't you say?
Hold on. Out of this list, I will point out that he has a ton-to-game ratio that sits him in fourth position.
Yeah, cool. So what you're saying is he rarely plays.
And average affected from tons. Two games he played a couple of years ago where he turned up in both of them against poor opposition.
I would suggest that this is the most contentious person we'll have on this list because...
Yeah, it should be in top 10. You're right.
Especially, I'd trade Christian Petrarca, who's not on the list.
I'd trade him
for Fiorini. Well, my man love for Petrescu Seton is pretty strong, but maybe not that strong. But, he's not been on the park enough. That's all it is. I mean, I've got him in the top 23, but I don't love it. I don't feel super easy about it. Yes, we know he bangs out fantasy scores like he was brushing his teeth, but, maybe he doesn't brush his teeth that often.
Well, the man ahead of him has played.
I understand that,
only
but
one
good
season
reason.
And half the games. Yep, no, and I think there's a good reason for this boy.
Okay,
15 games in first 2 years, I think is okay.
I just feel a little bit less comfortable about it than you.
Fair enough. Moving on to number 14, we've already indicated he's moving into his second year, so he's a 98 born boy. He's only played 8 games of footy. He's only scored the one ton, but he is the only ruckman under 23 that we will line up in our top 23 fantasy keepers, and that's Sean Darcy of Fremantle Footy Club.
Oh, look, this guy is just going to be in the top 23 until he turns 24. This guy's going to be a star. 1 year. Sample size of what, 8 games was it? Sanderlands is going to go down and retire at the end of this year, you would think. He's there. He's going to be the dominant ruckman at the Frio Docker Club for a very long time. Probably going to lose a little bit of puppy fat, but he's just a superstar fantasy-wise. And if he is available in any leagues, which I highly doubt, I'd be snapping him up right now because he's going to be a long-term keeper for you.
And obviously he's got the one person standing in the way, and that's Sandylands. That's one injury or 1 year.
Yep, pretty much. And they'll probably play tandem as well because there are rumours of Sandy training with the forward group and being that tall target. Well, they've got no forwards, so put the
Don't
tallest...
Don't you hate the term training with?
Oh, well...
That's pre-season, everyone's training with.
Christian Salem, training with the mid-group. Darcy Parrish, Andy McGrath, training with the mid-group. You can say that just about everyone on our list here, so... But,
Brett Stanton training with the defensive group at the VFL.
I'd be in the Diamond Creek League now that he's retired, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Moving on to number 13. This man's only got the 1 year in the list. And it's taken him a while to shine, to be fair. He's only still just under 23. He's played a total... of only 37 games, which is actually quite remarkable. Did move clubs, which gave him greater opportunity. Does have a career average of 81. Has scored 7 tons and 1 score over 120. It gives him a tons to game average of 5.29 games. And that's Jack Steele at the St Kilda Footy Club.
Yeah, big fan of Jack Steele. Actually, I'm surprised I've actually got him lowest of the three of us, but I still had him at 17. I think he's in for a big year. Points per minute machine, tackling machine, all the great things you need for the Dream Team model of scoring. Coming off an interrupted preseason last year, so I'm expecting that game time to build and see him to average well over 100 this year.
Yeah, moving on to pick 12. This gentleman, same year, 1995 born. He's been slowly building. He's been got an island named after him. He's been slow to build his top end score. He's only got a career average of 69.6. He has had forward status. He's a mid only now. He scored 7 tons and 1 score over 120, which gives him tons per game at 7.71. So he's got a fair bit to go, but there is no disputing that this is a big scorer once he gets the right role. We've ranked him 16, 10 and 16 between us. At number 12 is Dom Sheed Island.
Yeah, plenty of upside to this guy. Done the apprenticeship under the apprentices and your Sam Mitchells for a year or two there. He's going to be in that midfield for the rest of his career. No more forward status or anything for him. Get on board on Sheed Island because it's filling up pretty quickly.
And there'll be a couple of big winners out of that, the midfield change at West Coast Eagles, and he'll surely be one. To number 11, so the last one outside the top 10, although I do feel that the top 8 are elite talent. The rest of them are just sort of filling that tier 2, 3 and 4 gap. But the second last defender on our list has been injury interrupted in recent times. He does have a career average of 77.1. At his 70 games, he's actually scored 13 tons and 4 scores over 120. So he is a big scorer when the role and his health is right. That's a ton every 5 games that he plays. And that's KK Kolodziejczyk for Gold Coast.
Yeah, I really like KK. Obviously, Statesman, I know you're pretty high on him. I'm not super comfortable with the concussions, but he's certainly shown the ability to put together some damn good fantasy scores over an entire season, if you don't mind. Regressed pretty strangely in that third season, which I thought took us all by surprise, but I guess a bit of a role change had a lot to do with that. So yeah, I certainly got no problems with him, although I find it weird that you mentioned the top 8 as being super elite, considering you didn't have Jesse in there, but whatever, one was me press.
Very good, sir. Number 10, so we finally hit the top 10 here. Now this man is a midfielder, although there was an argument that he should have got defender status for this year, and if he had, I reckon we might have been talking a little bit closer for the top 5 if he was a long-term defender, because the role he played, I'm interested if it happens throughout the season, the role he's played was very, very good.
Yeah, and that's Connor Blakely, and he is an absolute star. defender status in Ultimate Footy, so those who have got him in the Ultimate Footy Keeper Leagues are just licking their chops because they have a D1, rolled gold, ready to go. It's going to be interesting how Ross the Boss plays Blakely this year with your rotations with Fife, Neil himself, the Hill brothers. So they've got a pretty good batting depth there, but I don't see him maintaining defender status for his career. He might be one of those ones that jumps in and out. So every second year, maybe you'll see him until someone gets traded or whatever, or a season-ending injury. He'll just maintain that midfield defensive status. So lock him in, Connor Blakely. Love him.
Yeah, 8 tons out of his 33 games for a ton every 4 games that he actually plays, and 3 of them over 120, so big scorer. Moving on to our 9th position, it's another defender, and we talk a bit of speculation, but the one season form was quite impressive. He's moving into his 3rd season of AFL footy. Last year, 2017, was magnificent. He's got a career average of 80.4. Out of 23 games, he's scored 3 tons already, and that's Ryan Burton of the Hawthorn Football Club. Looks classy, gentlemen.
Yeah, does he ever look classy? And I think that's something you look for with players. Obviously, he doesn't look like he's going to be a midfielder. If they shifted him forward at some stage during his career, I wouldn't be surprised. Obviously, he played there as a junior, but settled in the Hawthorn backline pretty nicely. I'm not sure he's ever going to be that, 95-plus averager, but I certainly think he's going to be a low 90s averager for quite a period of time. And I don't think anyone's dropping Ryan Burton.
No.
Hell no.
Absolutely. And I need to pose the question. If you had Ryan Burton and someone offered you a midfielder of Connor Blakely status, are you trading?
Wow.
It's close, isn't it? that one.
My rank sale.
All depends on your makeup. All depends on the makeup of your team, what you're needing.
Yep,
see, I need mid, so I'm taking Blakely.
Agreed. Yeah. Yep, yep. And I've got Ryan Burton in my keeper, and it'd be fair to say, as I see it right now, I'm not swapping him.
No.
Patrick Cripps comes in at number 8. Now, it's fair to say that he probably could have been higher on this list, but there are a couple of things holding him back, and that is the recent injury history that he's had. But also, he seems to be more of a Supercoach player than he does an AFL fantasy player. And it looks like he's one of those players that, if you're looking at the AFL fantasy world, he's a better player than he is a fantasy player. So he's probably more important to Carlton than he is in any AFL fantasy team. Although that does not mean that he is not an elite midfielder. He has played 59 games. He has scored 19 tons, and that's a ton every 3.11 games. And he actually has scored 7 scores over 120. So that's pretty big for Patrick Cripps.
Yeah, as you said, he hasn't had a clear run of it. And when we're talking about Paddy Cripps coming into the 2017 season, he had no preseason and was still belting out scores over 120. This guy's an absolute star. As you said, Supercoach, probably more Supercoach relevant of the impact he has with the contested ball tackles and whatnot. But give Patrick Cripps a clear run at it, staying injury free. He could be right up there in fantasy terms as well. Gets the ball, tackles. Probably needs to kick a few more goals, which he says he's working on. He's going to be a fantasy stud for a long, long time.
Yes, you're certainly right. The next one, I think, in a way, is a bit hardly done, but I think it's more his recent form and his recent role. So 80 games, a career average of 91.6, which includes 33 tons, but second on the list for the most games above 120, and that's 12. He actually scores a ton for every 2.42 games. So every second and a half game, he is getting you a ton. So number 7 is maybe a little bit harsh, but in a reality, it's just his recent season form and roles to Marcus Bontempelli.
Yeah, I think it's really strange. He's obviously much like Cripps. He's very, very Supercoach relevant. He'd be one of your top keepers in that format. But in the AFL Fantasy, again, he's probably not even as high a possession winner as Cripps is. He's very much like Nat Fyfe. Doesn't win a stack of the ball. Does it all through impact, burst plays and whatnot. So, I mean, you're not dropping Bont, but the other guys, the guys in front of him, when we start peeling off their names, you'll see why he's a little bit behind them, I think. But and one thing that's great about Bont and why he has to be above Cripps, he's very durable.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So at number 6, the youngest out of our top 8, our elite 8, average last year of 101, only 35 games, a career average of 89. He's had 9 tons, but 3 scores over 120 out of his 35 games. His second year was just outstanding. His first half of his second year was uber elite, and that's Clayton Oliver.
Yeah, look, again, he's going to be more Supercoach relevant with the in and under ball. One thing that's going to stop Clayton Oliver being that ultimate uber fantasy scorer, as you like to call it there, Statesman, is his kick-to-handball ratio. As he is under the packs, he's going to have more handballs to kick, so your Matt Prittis, Daniel Cross-type scorers. So only thing that's going to hold him back in terms of your fantasy. But, hey, if you can get him, if you got him in your Supercoach keepers, you are laughing all the way to the bank.
Absolutely. And the next two players actually finished up on the same totals. They only got divided by their tons per game. Now, the first one, probably just a little bit back just because of his injury history. Now, I will say this man is going to be a Jet. We just don't know whether he's going to be a midfielder or a forward. At the moment, he's got forward status, which is pretty sexy because he's probably going to be in the top 3 forwards. And I'm talking about, of course, Isaac Heaney. 12 tons, 3 scores over 120. This man is a magnificent football player and a very good fantasy scorer as well.
Yeah, I think it's really funny that someone blotched the rankings of their own boy and kept him out of the top four.
Yeah, true.
But
I will say he was ranked four by all of us.
Yeah. Us too. Yeah. You know, obviously, like Isaac Heaney, you know, what can you say? The guy scores like a beast coming off the glandular fever. He still put together a cracking season. The chips are in for me on him. I've got pick seven, Jono, in our home league, and he's in play. He is in play.
Big reveal. So,
there you go.
Wow, pretty impressive. Moving on to number four, only picked Heaney just, but he's a year older. His average was 106 this year, so we're talking 14 points higher. He has 69 games under his belt, which includes 28 tons and 9 scores above 120. So he's scoring you a ton every 2.46 games, and that's Matt Crouch, Adelaide.
Yeah, another one I tipped start of last year is one of those breakout players, better than his brother Brad Crouch. I mean, can't even average 100 in Supercoach. Can't even get on the park. I mean, this is a guy who's played as many games as his brother in 2 years less of football. He's an absolute fantasy beast. The time on ground has hurt him a little bit, but being a young gun, he's going to get more game time, especially when Rory Sloane goes to St Kilda or wherever the hell he's going in Victoria. So, Matty Crouch, you've got him there at number two, Statesman, and looking at these figures, I can understand why he's at two and can certainly have him higher myself.
Now this goes the acid tets. If you had Crouch and someone offered you Heaney, do you hand it over?
Nope.
Yes.
And I'm a no. So it's a 2-1.
Jono, you liar. Look at your rankings, Jono. They're on the screen.
I actually have Matt Crouch and you have Isaac Heaney, actually.
I know. I'm changing my mind.
but I generally think that Matt Crouch is building in to be a captain option.
Yeah, maybe not this year, but certainly next year, I think.
Yeah. So moving on to number three. Sorry, Steve.
Just one thing on Matt Crouch. Would you captain him in the first half of the year or just save him for the back half of the year when he decides to score well?
Grand final, it always works pretty well with 150, mate.
Hey, just the last 2 years. Loves a slow start, loves a big finish.
Yeah. Well, you get your captain Brad Ebert for the first half of the year and swap it over to Matt Crouch.
His mutter was a mutter.
His flutter was a mutter. pick three. So we're talking, they're all the same age now, so they're all final year in the under-23 system. 64 games, an average of career average of 82.1, 16 tonnes, 4 of them over 120. He's given you a tonne every 4 games. The big difference here, he's actually a forward and most likely to keep his forward for most of his career, we are expecting, and that's Jack Billings, St Kilda.
Yeah, love Jack Billings. I had him at three, which is where he is, obviously. I don't see him losing that forward status despite my hyperbole before when talking about Jesse Horrigan. Once he straightens up that goal kicking, he'll be averaging 100. Book it. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally agree. Now, the top two, it was hard to split. Now, I will say that the Statesman's put his stamp on this through the data, which has made the difference because they've both ended up with the same points. Now, both Steve and Jono have picked the number two player to be their number one, but because I had Matt Crouch at number two and the number two player at number three, it means they end up with the same points. But as we divided, at the end of the day, if you're on the same points, then your tons per game will end up being the final ranking. So at number two, with 79 games, career average of 87.9, 26 tons and 9 scores above 120, and that is a ton per 3.04 games, is Josh Kelly of GWS.
Yeah, the untaggable man, he's going to be leading that midfield for a very long time. I've got a question for you after you introduce the number one player, but just like Josh Kelly in. He was sort of thereabouts at the start of 2017, but he just exploded onto the scene, and now everyone wants a bit of him. And Julie Wright, that Steve and I have got him number one, and even our rankings in all formats, I think he's there top five at least in all formats.
I think it's a bit more of a super coach than a AFL fantasy.
I think it's 50-50.
At the moment, Josh Kelly's got the 1 year outlier where the number one has done it for 2 years. So let's go to number one and then we can debate that as a whole. Same amount of games, 79. Career average, 99.6. That's 12 points career average higher than number two, than Josh Kelly. 36 tons, which is above Josh Kelly, 26. Amazingly, out of 79 games, 22 of them have been above 120. Josh Kelly only had 9. This player is 22. I think it's pretty simple of who it is. It's a ton per 2.19 games, which is clearly number one here. And that's Zach Merritt with an average of 117 in 2016 and 2017.
Yeah, no, it's fair to have him number one. I mean, it's just incorrect. That's all you can say about it. Statesman living in the past. No, and look, to be serious, like, I can understand it and I don't have a problem with it, but all I can see is brand value. I don't want something that sounds like a German entree. Zach Merritt. Mate. I want Josh Kelly. He sounds like a friggin' Hollywood actor.
An Aussie.
Sounds like a Hollywood actor. No, but, and, you know, we saw at the end of last year, Zach Merritt, the tag came, and it affected him. Like, I'm worried about that. Like, it's a real thing. Like, if Essendon are going to be a better team, they're going to be putting time into someone. Who is it? It's not Dyson Heppel. It's not Jake Stringer, the new gun in the midfield. It's not Devin Smith.
Devin.
With a mattress wrapped around his leg, is it? It's not Darcy Parrish.
It actually might be Andy McGrath, would you believe?
Well, it might be, but all these guys, like, the only way for Zach Merritt is down.
So you think he's hit peak scoring?
Yes.
Yeah. And that's what I was going to ask Statesman.
He might maintain, but I don't see it.
So you've got Zerrett and Kelly there, same age, same super. You're obviously going to see Kelly be the number one scorer by the end of the career, as you would think.
No, and this is why when doing career average, I went through as many players as I could that triggered my fancy. There's only two at the moment that are still playing that have got a career average over 100, and that's Scott Pendlebury and Tom Rockcliffe. Now, in saying that, Zach Merritt has got a career average of 99.6, so it's going to take him two or three games this year, and all of a sudden, he's the third best current scorer in our game. I can't stop but saying, well, you're currently number one. I can't put him anywhere else.
No, it's fair. Like I said, it's fair. I'm not going to argue it too much, but I prefer Kelly.
No, and that's good, and that's why we had the points of different. It's fantastic, and what we've delivered now is that top 23 is effectively our list. We've combined that. We've let data help us with some of the fine-tuning outcomes, but that's our list of the top 23 under 23 heading into season 2018.
All right, that wraps up the show for this week. Thank you very much to Footy Rhino for passing on the baton, for allowing us to do the top 23 under 23 show. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do that by checking us out on Twitter at The Draft Doctors, at Statesman33. We've got the Facebook site there. Search The Draft Doctors. And the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au. All our rankings are up there. We've got articles dropping each and every week. Thanks, everybody, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of The Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.